Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
All right, we're going to try to get to the bottom of this today. Nearly 2 years ago to the day, a divided Supreme Court ruled that the U.S. government could not ban political spending by corporations, labor unions, and other organizations in supporting or opposing political candidates during electoral campaigns. It ruled that to do so is government infringement on freedom of speech. The case, Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, produced headlines, produced a lot of things. Among those, angered a sitting president who angered a sitting justice when that sitting president mentioned it in his State of the Union address, you'll recall. But now, in the first presidential campaign since the Citizens United decision, the implications of this landmark case are becoming clear. Freedom of speech. Is it a beautiful thing?
Santorum voted to raise the debt limit 5 times, increasing spending and debt by $3 trillion. And he even voted to let convicted felons vote. So how will Santorum beat Obama? Obama knows he can't. Restore Future is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Restore Our Future, just one example of a super PAC ad, super political action committee ad. We could have chosen about a million of these. This is a super PAC that supports Mitt Romney. And in Monday's Republican debate, and again in a news conference yesterday, Rick Santorum demanded that Romney ask the super PAC to take the ad down, claiming that in that ad that he wants to grant felons who are in prison the right to vote is factually incorrect, explicitly false. But is explicitly false even relevant anymore?
If Mitt Romney really believes
corporations are people, my friend,
then Mitt Romney is a serial killer. He's Mitt the Ripper.
Actor John Lithgow there in an ad that comes from the pro Stephen Colbert super PAC, Americans for a Better Tomorrow Tomorrow. That super PAC is now under the control of Daily Show host Jon Stewart, so Colbert can pursue his possibly real run for the White House. Whether he becomes a candidate or not, the face that Colbert-inspired lunacy can stand right there next to Romney or Gingrich or Santorum-inspired hyperbole makes the point that truth may be the first victim of the Citizens United case. But don't take my word for it. What do I know about the U.S. Constitution? Joining us now is Floyd Abrams, First Amendment lawyer who represented Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, in that case, Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. Floyd Abrams, good morning.
Good morning.
So the Citizens United case and freedom of speech and truth in advertising seem to come into conflict here. Do you have to be correct in a super PAC ad? Is that even relevant in this issue in 2012?
Super PAC ads are judged by the same First Amendment and legal standards as any other political speech. The fact that it's from a super PAC doesn't change things. From a legal perspective, if somebody wants to think about bringing a libel case, Senator Santorum, for example, that's a very heavy burden on him to win the case because we have so much First Amendment protection. But the fact that it's a super PAC doesn't change anything in that respect. If that ad had been put on directly by Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney, it would be judged by all the same legal standards.
Now, why are there different legal standards for candidates than there are for just citizens who create these super PACs and can create these YouTube messages that can say virtually anything?
Well, again, in terms of saying virtually anything, there are no different standards. There is a different standard about money going to one place or the other. I mean, the basic theory, and it does sound a little wacky sometimes, but the basic theory is that if you make a contribution of money to candidates, that is more likely to ingratiate yourself with the candidate and perhaps to lead to corruption or the appearance of corruption, and that is potentially therefore more dangerous for the body politic than simply saying, look, you can go spend your money how you like it.
So the veracity of campaign messages is much less of an issue in terms of the court than the appearance or the actual fact that a contributor is controlling an elected official.
Well, again, the veracity of campaign messages is something which is judged by precisely the same, not different, legal standards, whether the speaker is a super PAC or an individual or a candidate or a political party. We give a lot of protection to campaign speech, whoever the speaker is. It's not absolute. People can bring libel cases. And Senator Santorum's case, my impression, incidentally, on that, is that he, like a lot of other people, think that after you serve your time, you ought to be able to vote. I mean, that is an issue as to which usually the Democrats and Republicans disagree, since most Democrats have supported allowing people who have served their time to vote, and many states allow it, other states don't allow it.
So it's a legitimate debate to let convicted felons vote.
It's a legitimate debate, and politics is hardball when you run for president, but there's nothing about a super PAC that makes it judged by different legal standards in terms of truth or falsity. There are issues that have been raised, of course, about the amount of money that can be spent and the like. But in terms of truth or falsity, there's absolutely no difference at all between a super PAC and an individual or a candidate.
We're talking with Floyd Abrams, First Amendment lawyer and really constitutional scholar and legendary attorney who represented Senator Mitch McConnell in the Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission case. So when Mitch McConnell says you must take that back, he's simply raising a question of manners, not a question of legality. Before we go to a break,
that's right. If a senator is attacked or anyone else is attacked, again, he could bring a libel action. In America, unlike England, say, that would be very rare to do, but you're allowed to do it.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the question of libel and slander in political campaigns and how workable that might be. And I think we're probably going to get into the Colbert question. Are you game for that, Floyd Abrams?
Sure.
Floyd Abrams.
Sure, I can't do an imitation, though.
That's fine. We won't ask you to. First Amendment lawyer who represented Senator Mitch McConnell in Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Continuing now with our something of an ad hoc law school seminar on the First Amendment and the Citizens United case with Floyd Abrams, First Amendment lawyer who represented Republican Senator Mitch McConnell in the Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission case. And go to our website, itsafreecountry.org, for our co-producer, WNYC, and you can see the complexity, the entertainment value, if you want to say it, the disturbing qualities of the First Amendment. We've got some of the controversial super PAC ads that are running in this 2012 election there at the website, and you can go take a look at those, including this ad here.
A group of corporate raiders led by Mitt Romney, more ruthless than Wall Street. For tens of thousands of Americans, the suffering began when Mitt Romney came to town.
Mitt Romney, the private equity investment banker who came to town and took people's jobs, that's the premise of a super PAC ad from a pro-Gingrich super PAC called Winning Our Future. Now, Floyd Abrams, you suggested in the previous segment that Mitt Romney could, in theory, file a libel or slander case if he found the claims in that super PAC ad too egregious. How would that play out?
Well, in a lot of countries, if you say something about someone else in a political campaign or otherwise, it simply has to be true. If it's not true, you can bring a libel suit and win it. Here, starting in 1964, the Supreme Court has given more protection for freedom of speech than that. They basically said when you say something about a public person, a public figure, like Mitt Romney, even if it turns out to be untrue, so long as you believe it, you're protected. I mean, that was one of the greatest, mm-hmm. maybe the single greatest First Amendment ruling in American history. And it's afforded enormous protection for the press, for speakers, for people who dissent from what's going on in the country. The price tag of that is that there is a greater risk that something will be said which will be false. But in theory, yeah, Mitt Romney could bring a lawsuit.
As a campaign tactic, could he ask a judge to restrain that ad, to issue an injunction to prevent it from even being broadcast?
Effectively, no, mm-hmm. Because our First Amendment protections are so broad that prior restraints, as they're called, injunctions, are all but totally forbidden. Another great protection of free speech. That's why the New York Times could publish the Pentagon Papers back in the 1970s.
Case you were involved in.
Yes, and that's why the government doesn't go to court against WikiLeaks, say, on that. I mean, if the government went to court and said, look, you can't publish that, they would in almost all circumstances lose. And that's really one of our country's great contributions to free speech.
Well, let's carry this forward in something of a thought experiment. I mean, if the message gets out there in the campaign, it can certainly have implications. And if an electoral outcome can be traced to a false claim in an ad, take, for instance, the Willie Horton ad that derailed the Dukakis candidacy against George H.W. Bush. You know, it wasn't the only reason. But in theory, does Dukakis, after the election, have a libel or slander case against the makers of that ad?
In theory, he does. The people that put out the ad, Lee Atwater and those people in the Republican Party who were responsible for that ad could be held liable. But what would they say? They
right.
would say, look, Willie Horton was released on Mike Dukakis' watch. So what's the problem?
Well, the fact that it's abstract means that it doesn't necessarily constrain people from doing those ads if it can affect the electoral outcome.
It does not. You're absolutely right.
Well, let's take one closer to us. Max Cleland, who ran a senatorial campaign as an incumbent, was defeated by Saxby Chambliss in part because of an ad that put his face, a triple amputee Vietnam veteran, up next to Osama bin Laden, suggesting that he supported Osama bin Laden. Is that a libel case?
Look, in reality, it's not. I mean, in theory, he could have brought it, and indeed, he might have gotten some damages of some sort. But look, we've placed a bet in this country on free expression. And if somebody wants to say in a political campaign, you know, if you're elected, you're going to be pro Osama bin Laden, that has become historically and not just in recent years, a part of our democratic discourse.
All right.
Thomas Jefferson was accused of all sorts of horrible things when he ran for president. John Adams. I mean, there's nothing new in this.
Well, add to that pantheon Stephen Colbert. Does he improve the debate? Is he a sign that Citizens United is a vigorous defense of free speech, or is he distorting the process and is, in the sense, a critique of that decision?
Well, certainly he's running as sort of a critique. I mean, he did run even before Citizens United. I mean, in the last campaign, he also made a pass at running. But certainly one of the things he is showing is the fragility of the distinction between an independent committee and someone who was really working for a candidate?
Well, fragility or absurdity?
Yes, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is because you know you wind up in Mitt Romney's case with the very people who used to work for the senator. and Gingrich's, going out there and forming a committee. Now, do they talk to each other? I'm sure they don't, because it could set them up for criminal prosecution.
But the absurdity is there, and Colbert makes the case, and this has been a fascinating discussion. Floyd Abrams, thanks so much.
Okay, it's good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Floyd Abrams, First Amendment lawyer who represented Senator Mitch McConnell in Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. A lot to think about there.